Let's go. So hello, everyone, again, and welcome in our ARIES weekly JavaScript framework call. And yeah, as always, there is some unsuggest policy. So please read it. And I think we can go ahead to agenda. So first thing, or actually second thing, there is some Hyperledger Fabric by Harsh. So yeah, I think it's yours, Harsh. So if you want to share something with us or discuss anything about it.
Thanks, Jacob. Yes, I wanted to discuss. So I was doing one implementation of wrapper to so that ARIES framework JavaScript can interact with Fabric. So we have the chain code in place in my repository. What I now need is, how should we proceed it? Like, I know you have given me a branch. Do more work in this project. I need to shift this project to Hyperledger Labs. So I have this chain code. I have made the proposal wherein the chain code repository link I have added, and I can add the separate branch that you guys have provided me, right?
Sorry, I missed where you would like to add this branch into our repo or somewhere else.
Sorry, I didn't get you. What you are saying?
Yeah, I missed. What do you want to do with this branch? Do you want to add it to this repo, like merge it to our? Because I haven't seen this branch, so I don't know what's there actually. Maybe so. Yeah,
basically what I would do right now is I would put my code in a separate branch in AFJ, and once a working demo is ready and once it is reviewed, it can be merged into the main AFJ branch.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, if you can do PR, then we can look at it. But I'm not sure, should all your work be part of this Hyperledger framework code? Because to me, it seems that, yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe,
Hello?
Yeah, I'm thinking how far is like some Hyperledger integration related to the framework, because in the framework maybe we can do some wrapper around your work and some bridge, let's say, but I'm not sure if all your work should be part of the framework. But yeah, I haven't seen the branch, so I don't know.
Let me I would share with you the branch link. Wait a second.
Okay, great.
Right now there is no work of Fabric wrapper in that branch. I am yet to add it, so just give me a second. So I have added it in the meeting chat.
Great.
Let me add some code and raise a PR. At that time, you can maybe review it and run a demo. At that time, I would be able to even show out demo of how ARIES is interacting with Fabric. Then you may get to know better of what it is doing.
Okay. Yeah, demo. Timo, you raised your hand, so, and you are muted.
Yeah. Just I credit this French.
I'm sorry, I haven't heard almost anything because there is some weird sound from you. I'm not. Maybe it's on my side. I don't know.
No. Your voice is breaking a bit.
Yeah, a bit. Actually, a bit more than just a bit. Oh, Timo has some connections problem, I guess. Okay. How can I show diff of this? Any idea, guys? It's not possible to...
Right now,
I think in just this compare branch... and pull request. Or oh no, that's
yeah, but this is my branch actually. Yeah, so I thought it should be okay. So I'm really confused right now.
Can you make a pull request? Just right a draft.
Now, actually, right now there is nothing much in this branch.
So okay, this is empty branch. I get then.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Basically, so, behind the main AFJ branch.
Yeah, and so I'm sorry, but I'm a bit confused. Actually, what's do you have any? Is your code anywhere like available to see it? What is it about? Because actually, I don't have so much experience with Fabric, and I'm not sure how much your work is related to some Fabric chain code or that kind of stuff. And how is it related to frame, like not framework, but to protocol implementation?
Okay.
So if you can help me with that, or if any of you guys understand what is it about, please.
This sounds like a candidate for a presentation, actually, and just allocate a meeting for Harsh to present this work, because it's really interesting stuff, but I don't think any of us really know what he's done. So, unless others are more up to date, you know, that's my thinking. I'm really interested. It's just, could you do a presentation of this, Harsh? I mean,
yeah, because you know, yeah, I'm sorry, Harsh, because I know we discussed that like a few months ago, but to be honest, I don't remember so much from that. And so maybe if you can, you know, prepare something about this a bit and, we can discuss it in here maybe next time, or if you have something right now, I don't know, because it's to me it's really abstract to understand what is it about in particular, you know, this contribution. Like I'm not sure. I have some ideas that how it can work, but I'm like a bit lost what's exactly that code about.
So I have the code in my repository of AFJ.
Okay.
Give me some time. I would put the same code in this branch and create a also show you the demo. So and also give a walkthrough of what the code does and prepare the documentation for the same, so that the documentation is also there and it would help in better understanding.
Okay, great. It would be awesome. Yeah.
Yes.
Timo, you are back. So.
Yeah. Can you hear me fine now? Or.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. What I just want to say is I created the branch for Harsh and Estim to present here. But yeah, I think it would be great to have maybe a bit more in depth and teach us all like what. How it works. I think another thing I wanted to discuss here, like, is with the Fabric integration, for example, is like, how do we approach that with, where do we place it? Do we place it in the main repo, or do we place it more in the extension repo, for example, and create a plugin from it? I think maybe that is a better approach to start with like an external plugin. If we think it's used by a lot of people, then we can always move it into the core.
So That's a good one. Just following up on what Harsh said, is that I'm correct, right? That chain code is smart contract code for Fabric.
Yes.
Yeah. So I am not too sure, and I think that is what Jakob also meant. If that code belongs in the AFJ repo, it's not related to Aries. I mean, yeah, it is sort of, but it's a Fabric specific thing. So I'd say that belongs somewhere else, maybe a Fabric extension tree. I don't know how that is, but I'd say the JavaScript interface belongs in AFJ.
So Harsh, what language have you used for the chain code? Because I know that Fabric chain code comes in various flavors. What language is it written in?
TypeScript. And
right, so it is TypeScript. Right.
And the chain code would never belong to AFJ repo. So chain code would always be in a Fabric network. It would that any kind of contract would not be in AFJ. The code in AFJ would be a client application which establishes the connection with Fabric and is able to interact with the Fabric network. Maybe we can discuss about where we can place this code once I give you the walkthrough of what the code is, what it does. Maybe then we can decide where we can place it, maybe in the extension or in the main AFJ repo.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, from what I am hearing, I have feeling that it's gonna be probably something like this class, you know, because this is basically how we this is where we are using Indy to communicate with Indy Ledger, in the SDK. So yeah, I assume that part of your work it's gonna be something like this, some API, JavaScript API, and then I'm not sure what will be if there is gonna be like some native library similar to libindi but talking with Fabric. That's something I don't know. So maybe that if you can then describe it to us more.
Once can you go inside the services directory inside Ledger in the directory in which you are? Just go inside the services directory. Similar to what Indy Ledger service does here, there would be one more file called as Fabric Ledger service.
Yeah.
And how this Indy Ledger service is called from Ledger module, the Fabric Ledger service would also be called in a similar way.
Mm-hmm. And what this
Fabric Ledger
fabrics service. Yeah, what this will call, like, you know, because right now here we have like Indy, and Indy is basically JavaScript wrapper around libindy library, compiled libindy library. So will we have something like this but for Fabric, or is it going to be something like totally different?
Like I have something similar to this for Fabric.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I am also using Indy module and Indy wallet module inside that service
to
create the objects.
Okay.
That would go to Fabric and be fetched from Fabric because then it would be interoperable. Once you can the application, if it is built, it can also use Indy or Fabric as a ledger. It would be easily interoperable.
Yeah, I think this is kind of specific of this work because, you know, it's not another ledger, because you are actually trying to like emulate the same transaction. They are going to Indy Ledger but to Fabric, which is a bit different than if we are integrating with totally different ledger like Cosmos or Ethereum, I think. So yeah, that's something a bit specific for this work. So yeah, maybe if you clarify that next time, then it would be great. And yeah, if you can share this code somehow, I don't care how, but if you want to just show your repo, or I don't know, make a commit into this branch. Yeah, it's up to you.
Yes, give me some time.
Okay.
Reach out to you or Timo.
Yeah, great, great, thanks. Okay, so next topic, BBS Plus work. I don't know who added that. So who wants to talk about this one?
Timo did, I think.
Timo. Yeah.
But I'm going to talk about it. BBS work that is very concrete. Anyway, we have been working on some. Mike and Prasad and me, we have worked on the indie side of the V2 protocols, the present proof V2 and issue credential V2, but just indie. So now we are looking to expand that to JSON-LD and W3C credentials. We have a little design for that. I can share my screen if that is. There it is. So that looks like this. It is a very official UML diagram, as you can see. No, but here on top we have a. Is this readable? By the way, should I zoom? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, just a bit. Yeah, this is all better.
Right. So we have a credentials module, proof module, so all that stuff. And the V1 service is not displayed here because it's not relevant, but the service layer and then format service layers. And so we had the indie proof format service. We have that now. So we extracted basically all indie specific stuff from the actual protocol version specific stuff. And the same goes for credential. But now we are looking to add the linked data and presentation exchange format services. So this is not all BBS related, so I'm not going to go into it too much, but basically we will have a W2C credential service and a separate W3 credential repository. The service relies on an abstract signature suite thing for the signatures, which will then do the BBS stuff and the ED25519. So it has multiple implementations depending on which signature suite you choose. For this, most of the encryption stuff is handled by the wallet. We will inject the wallet. So the wallet will actually be the thing that is used for signing and verifying and all that stuff. So this is more sort of signature suite format related. And hopefully that will work with the Asker wallet as well, if that is done on time. I don't know if that's previously mentioned. I think there was a library in. So Timo and I did this work for ECPI about a year ago. And we had to implement a lot of stuff ourselves. Also wrapped the BBS Plus library, in JavaScript, there are more libraries like this one from Matter. The start of this week, did some research and testing if that works in React Native, and it doesn't. So that is great. So Berend is now has started on because he is our Turbo Modules guy here. So he is he started working on wrapping this. Also creating a wrapper for the BBS Plus signatures stuff, which is a lot of extra work, sadly, but it's needed anyway. I don't know, Berend, do you have anything to say on that note, or?
No, I mean, we will keep it in line with the node module, so we can just like do it the same as we do with every React Native / node module. But other than that, nothing really.
Yeah, and so the thing. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I have just a question, Berend. If I understand it correctly, you would be able to do this bridge, like let's call it like turbo module bridge, from our JavaScript code in framework to Rust to this how it will work, like it's gonna be, what will be the turbo module? I think because we will be using this API or API of the Rust like turbo module.
I will define a JavaScript interface exactly like how the node module is right now from PBS signatures. Then I would have to go from JavaScript through Objective-C for iOS bridge, and then it will go straight to C++, which in C++ side, we will call the corresponding method in the Rust library. That is the structure.
Yeah, okay.
Just a note about the API. there has been, like, there is another library, which is the Node PBS signatures, which is optimized for, nice, this link is working great. Anyway, it's optimized for Node.js. So Berend is trying to follow that API. So we don't have to do.
Yeah, okay.
All both wrappers. So that is so we started working basically, but not much more to say on that note for now.
Okay.
Any questions?
Happy to answer. I have the question to the diagram you showed. There was a wallet with dependency to Eris Askar, but I haven't seen any dependency from VCX repo, sorry, VCX, W3C credential repository to that Eris Askar. So maybe just, you know, how would it work? Like, is it missing there or?
No, I think the idea is not to have a direct, or Timo, please correct me if I'm wrong here, but is not to have a direct connection there. It's basically, this is the link between them. So it does the signature stuff here.
Yeah, but the storage of those W3C records, is it gonna be in Eris Askar storage or not?
The keys, yes.
I mean that record on the left side. There is like W3 sequential record on the left.
That one.
Yeah. So where this will be stored?
So Timo, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we are not going to store the credentials themselves in Askar, right?
I mean, we are. It depends on the storage you use. If you use the Indie SDK, it will be stored in the Indie storage. And if you use Askar, it will be stored in Askar storage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but yeah, and your yeah, okay. So yeah, so Eris Askar has the same capability for non-secrets storage,
yeah, well, it's
as
different
the Indie SDK
than Indie SDK, because Indie did everything together, which meant it can hide certain, like you can't extract private keys from it, and you can't also directly query Indie records through the storage API. You need to do that through the custom credential search API. Askar is just storage, so you can just store any record, and whether we store a W3C credential record or an Indie record, it's basically the same way how you process it. So there's no difference anymore because Askar can be run without Indie.
Yeah. I see. Okay. So yeah, makes sense.
I have a couple of questions. My first question is, sorry, Karim, did you say that the Matter library works or does not work with React Native? I couldn't quite hear what you said there.
Not.
No, it doesn't. That's what I thought you said, it doesn't. And then you said it's great, so I'm kind of thinking, it's being ironic.
I am quite a sarcastic person, yes, sorry.
Yeah, that's like it. I thought so. Well, us British are not like that at all, of course. No, that's good. So then the question is that a problem for us Northern Bloc Ontario project? Because
yeah,
they were relying on that.
Yes, it is, in the sense that there is more work to do now. You know, it's not plug and play as we sort of hoped.
Yeah.
So we'll need to create those wrappers ourselves, which
right. That has to be planned into the schedule and so on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I had a second question as well. Just on your diagram there, you had the BBS signatures and the ED25519 and then a W3C credential suite. From the point of view of issuing credentials and doing presentation proofs, is that all sort of transparent? It's under the hood. You don't need to worry about it, or are there significant differences in terms of how you would implement that?
So didn't quite get your question, I think. But so you're saying do from this vantage point?
Yeah, from the point of view of the
well, it's true. I'm not too sure. Maybe Timo can comment on this. I think it is. I mean, the crypto stuff is hidden away, but in terms of selective disclosure, maybe.
What was the question exactly? Can you repeat it?
I was just wondering if you look at those two purple lines there, which basically that's kind of the work that I'm going to be involved in, and I'm just kind of thinking, in terms of that particular piece of work, how much do we care about whether it's a BBS plus signature, whether it's ED25519? Is there going to be any significant differences from the point of view of that kind of higher level functionality, or is it all kind of hidden away and underneath a sort of wrapper API? Or how much do we need to know about the differences between BBS plus and the other signature type?
Yeah, exactly. I think there are a few differences you need to account for, and in ECAPI we did that in the format service level. For example, if you use BBS signatures, you need a specific context to be included in the credential. But yes, it's few different. Like it's 99% the same. And that's the nice thing, because you use the signature suite, you can extract it all the way.
And if I've, again, setting aside the stuff with sort of Askar wallets and so on, most of this stuff is already in ACAPI. So if I were to spend a little bit of time poking around in ACAPI, I'll get a reasonably good understanding of what it is we need to do, right? That's correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Okay, thank you.
All right, if there are no other questions, I think we can go to the next point.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was just looking at this library, BBS Plus Signature Library. Non-indie based ledgers is another topic.
Okay, yes. Okay. Hello, I'm Sarah Ranjit. Yes. Yes, I have a proposal for something on the similar lines about what Harsh has proposed. Oh, can I share my screen?
Yeah.
Okay, are you able to see my screen now?
Yes, great.
Okay, currently we are trying to implement a non-entity based ledger with the Elixir framework JavaScript. So we thought of trying to contribute with the approaches. Currently, the AFJ has only ability to support entity based ledgers, and the support for ledger is used from the India SDK functions inside the ledger module. Our proposal is to decouple the ledger module from the AFJ core and support the non-entity based ledgers as well. Okay, which will consist of different configurations based on the ledger that we are using. So yes, I will go to the architecture part. The current architecture that we are following is, in the AFJ, there are separate one core, node and React Native modules. In the core modules, there are connections, credentials, proofs, ND, problem report, VDR, and other. But the VDR I am written here, it is a ledger one that in the current project structure that is there. Okay, so our proposed architecture was that we will decouple the ledger from the core modules, and we will create a separate repo, not repo, maybe basically a FG extension we will be using. In that, we will add one more package, VDR, and in that, if we want to use the, we will give a plugins like something similar to plugins. And if I don't, if I want to use the IntelliJer, I will use the Inti plugin, or else if I want to use the Eternity plug, then I will use the same or Fabric, something similar to that. Yes, and also the other we were think other approach we were thinking to use the same AFJ repo, then. I mean the same repo in the we will create a separate AFJ module where core, node, React Native, and a VDR, and here we will try to contribute the different ledgers or different support what we want.
Can you return it one slide back, please, just for a second?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. AFJ. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks.
Okay, I got this approach. I was looking into the Aries framework Go part, and from that I got about that they were trying to use something similar. So I also thought to try something similar.
Okay. Yeah. I have two questions / ideas or points. First thing is how are you planning to support also React Native or
React Native.
Will you need any like native integrations to add to React Native, like those, you know, bridges to native libraries for your like ledgers integration? I don't know much about the alternative blockchain, so I don't know if they have like some JavaScript API or if it's some native library or library written in other language.
Yes. Okay. I also haven't checked more in deeper about the React Native part, but okay. I was just going with the initial proposal so that whether I'm doing something, doing a correct approach or not. So I thought for React Native also, I think I have to check about that whether we need it or not. Yeah,
no problem. Okay.
Or if great. We can thanks. Directly use the core part. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Timo.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like what will the VDR interface look like? Because I think it's quite specific on what type of ledger you're using. I can think of like a generic DIT interface, because that can, we have the interface to retrieve DITs, but that can be any ledger. But besides that, for example, India schemas and credential definitions, I don't know what Eternity uses. Like, I don't think we can get away with a VDR interface, but maybe, I'm just curious how you were thinking about that.
Okay, actually, I was thinking that if I will use the Indie based, we will create a common functions like create, read, update, activate, deactivate, something that Sitetree uses, right? Something similar to Sitetree. What?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's related just to the DIDs, and I think that's what Timo meant. You know, that's one part.
Yes,
like, yes. I think it's possible to do it to some extent, but the trickier part will be about the schemas, for example, or like credential definitions for India, you know, and then there is a question, and revocations, for example, also. It's a question how different ledgers are implementing this, because this logic is not so straightforward as with this. With DIT, you can just, you know, say resolve DIT, and you get some result, which has like same structure basically across all DITs, because it's built upon DIT method and DIT specification. But with credentials, there is the credential exchange revocations, and I think it's a bit more complicated logic. I think it's a bit more complicated and more like dependent on the particular ledger. So yeah, then that's a good question. How we will approach this, and yeah, what's your ideas that if you already thought about this?
Yes, we can have more venture. yes, we can have more brainstorming on this part, and yes, we can look for more deeper.
I think
just to add out here, the probably if I've understood the question correctly, we wanted to have more implementation specific to the extension side. So Eternity Indie based on the specific implementation, and probably the interface would more look like currently the Ledger module is what we are having. So just a structure to it, and then probably the specific implementation might go to the extension side. Will that work, or?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Timo, what do you think? I'm not sure. Like, because maybe, yeah, if you have like operations register schema, or I don't know, revoke credential, then it can be same API for some ledgers. You just don't use register schema if there is no schema. But yeah, it's hard to say.
I think we should maybe for now, because I think this is probably something we can see patterns in if we start using more ledgers, but do it on a ledger per ledger basis and just define the interface for it. And then, for example, what we are now going to do with DITs is we're going to have a DIT interface where we can create, read, resolve DITs. Later, I can see us adding a revocation interface where for each type of ledger you want to support revocation for, you can implement that revocation class so that we don't see it as one ledger interface, but more like specific ledger features that you can implement for a specific ledger. And we could look at, for example, I think that may be one looking at is maybe generalizing the indie interface a bit, so it can also be used for non-indie ledgers that use the same indie objects, because I think that's what the Fabric chain code is going to do. And if you look at, for example, the Sheck network, is they allow you to store schemas and credential definitions to mimic the indie functionality. So we could look at an interface that handles anon creds as a generic interface that you can implement for indie or for checked or for Fabric. Then I think that may be worth, because I think also, for example, looking at the Eternity network, for example, I don't know how it works, but another thing that would be interesting when tackling this is, all right, how do we integrate this with the current credential exchange? Because is it going to work with DO3C credentials, or does it work with the indie credential exchange? If it works with DO3C credentials, I think the only thing we need is a generic DIT interface to resolve DIT from it, and maybe revocation status. But I think most networks don't even support that. So I think we can keep it very minimal, the API, for now.
Okay, you're saying at least just start with the DITs part, right? At least go with the...
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay, but the approach will be something similar, or it will be directly from the services part, like what Harsh was saying, like something Fabric service or something?
Yeah. To me, it seems that maybe we don't have to try to like extract this right now. We can continue with adding it into AFJ modules, and then maybe we will see how to extract it. This, but that's just my opinion. I don't know. It's because maybe we will be trying to thinking where to put it and how to extract it, and then we will add another implementation and we will see that the extraction doesn't work so well. And just my opinion. Maybe we can continue continue inside AFJ core modules, and then we will see if or how it will be possible to extract it outside. But I'm not sure if it's gonna be like extensions, right? Because I see how extensions are right now something different than plugins for ledgers, but yeah, that's my point of view. I know, Timo, what do you think about this? Should we separate it like from the start, or?
I think keeping it, especially the interfaces in AFJ, yes. I think if we are going to add support for example, Fabric, I would rather not have it in the core package because it adds a lot of dependencies. And I think most people are not going to use it. And I would rather have, keep it, because having then we need to make sure that Fabric works in both Node.js, React Native, and then make sure it always keeps working. So I think having the ledger support outside of AFJ, but like a well-defined interface inside of AFJ, works fine. But I think it depends on the type of ledger. For example, integrating Bitwap into AFJ was really simple because it's just making HTTP requests. Like if it's a lot, I would say keep it out. If it's very easy to add, I say we can add it in.
Yeah, but what if we just separate out those native dependencies? Similar like we have it with React Native, you know, we have it for Wallet, for example. We just add, we have a lot of code around the Wallet inside the framework, but that just the library one, like library for React Native and for Node, it's part of the those like modules, I don't know how to call it, like Node and React Native. And then if you are not running on React Native, you don't need it. I see your point, because then we would be adding all React Native modules for React Native. That will be just React Native modules, but still it can be like Fabric even if you don't need it. Okay. But and then maybe we can reorganize those dependencies in a way that, okay, those are dependencies for like native, like libraries for Fabric, React Native, like do some metrics maybe or something like that. I don't know, but you know, and maybe we can just take those libraries, like native dependencies, and the rest of the code can be inside the framework because it's not so big. I think like JavaScript bundle, it shouldn't be so big at the end. So yeah, that I think that could work. But that's good point. I agree with that. At least those dependencies shouldn't be there.
Yeah, we can always make them optional. Optional dependencies.
Yeah.
I agree with Timo's suggestion because sometimes for certain bit methods, there's some work layer to a side tree as well, which may bloat the core of AFJ. So keeping that separate would be good.
Okay, I didn't hear you so well, but I heard that you agreed with Timo approach. So, but then there was some noise from you, AJ. So I'm sorry for that.
Sorry, I'm driving.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So anything else for this discussion?
Okay. No. I will just try to. Just I will fork the project, both AFJ extension. I will try to create a sample so that to check how it works, and yes,
yeah,
we can have a demo or something. Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, next one is ongoing work, issue credential v2, present proof v2, and so on. So yeah, I think Karim, Mike, is there any update about those? We'll discuss it briefly. But
I have a question. I was just going through with Prasad. Being we ran into some trouble with the attachments. So the message classes have, so for instance, now it's called V1 request presentation message, I believe, has an array. I don't know, it's called like request attachments or request whatever. But it also has the attachment decorator extension, I think. Am I right in assuming that that thing is for linked attachments?
Generic attachments amongst linked. Is that right, Timo? We had this discussion this morning, didn't we? And my gripe with this was the fact was that the word attachment is all plastered all over the place. And I was getting into a bit of a pickle. So,
So
I renamed the decorator. It was so easy to see the difference. Timo, of course, will correct me if I'm wrong, but the decorator gives you the generic attachments of which the linked attachments are a part. But they're not the only type. There are other types of attachments that go in there. Is that right, Timo?
The generic attachment gives the generic, like the attachment property gives you all the appended attachments. Just the generic, not the specific to the message attachments.
Yeah. So, for example, the reason I got into a bit of a pickle myself, Kareem, over this is because I was trying to, my pull request has just gone in this afternoon, you may have seen. I was trying to get the tests to run, and I had a problem with the attachments were missing. So there's some tests which have things like image of a cat and image of a dog. So I think you can take it from that the kind of thing that ends up in those attachments are things like images and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay. That was my question. And then I indeed, the follow-up thing was strongly vouching for a rename, because this is... confusing Prasad, it's confusing me, it's confusing you. Maybe
I've renamed my generic attachments. It's in the pull request. So I don't know whether that's the best name. You can definitely need a rename. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe we can call it as the RFC calls it, to keep consistent.
Mm-hmm. Which is
appended attachments.
Appended. Okay. Cool.
It's fairly descriptive either, but it's at least consistent, because I think generic attachments are also a bit like generic isn't the term used in the RFCs, or so maybe that could also be
quite a generic term.
Fair enough.
Because, and then just a quick follow up on that, because the am I correct in saying that? I'm not. Okay, no, forget what I was saying. Anyway, but so they are split. So we have it's request presentation attachments. So those are the message specific attachments, and they do not go into that other array. Perfect. No, because it's confusing, because if you look at like the public API, you go you get attachment by ID. And Prasad did that, and I assumed that that was about the message attachments, but it's not. It's a decorator thing. So
I made exactly the same mistake, and that's why I broke a load of tests, because I got confused between the two types of attachments. And certainly in the last couple of days, I figured that out. But it is, but it was okay, wasn't it, when it was just V1? But now we've got multiple formats, multiple versions, and so on. You know, the use of the term attachment is starting to become confusing, to say the least. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That was it. I don't know if Mike or Prasad has anything to say.
Just to say that, the pull request finally, after 3 months, has gone in, and I'm sure you guys will have a few words to say about that. And I'll be sort of starting working with Timo and Kareem on basically the stuff that's contained in that diagram that you presented earlier on. So that's going to be the W3C stuff and JSON-LD and everything else. So I'm quite happy to get that pull request in. I tried to tidy it up as much as I could, but that is the mother of all pull requests. I tell you, crikey, it's a big one. So there's going to be some stuff there that I've missed, I'm sure. So Timo and Kareem, you guys, I'll work with you two over the next few days to get that tidied up, and hopefully we can get that merged fairly soon. That's basically it from me.
Okay, thanks, guys. Next is the revocation. Revocation has been merged. Is there anything else we want to discuss for revocations?
I don't think so. We have passing test with RSH and test harness, so it seems to work fine.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, so now my thing, OOB and the exchange. So maybe I can share at least a bit. We don't have so much time, but I edit out of band record. Tim, as we agreed, I wrote, where is that? I wrote some few to do, so I'm gonna share it here. Make it bigger, maybe. Those other things. Yeah, so as we discussed, I think this one was about just, you know, aligning the keys in the invitation or in the service to one type, which is gonna be base 58, I guess, which I saw that like Akapai is using still this format. So I aligned it. So right now it's still using this base 58 format for both routing keys and for recipient keys. I'm not sure if we discussed that we should do more about this right now. So maybe, I don't know, if you have, maybe you can write me, you know, if you remember, but.
This is, this also where you opened that issue for in the RS RFCs or?
I don't know. I think so. I opened two, but right now I don't like to remember.
Oh no, I think that's another one. Yeah. I think because the problem here was routing keys, whether it needs to be a DIT or a key ref or just a plain base 64 or base 58 encoded key, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should ask, I think Andrew or open an issue to ask, because I think the RFC wasn't very clear in how we read it, right?
Because you sent me some discussion about this and I'm still not sure if I understood it correctly or if it's really like decided how it should look like. So yeah, I don't know.
Where did I send that discussion?
I don't know. I think last, like you sent me that with, there was a discussion. I think Kyle was also there. It's a long time issue or is it something else? I don't know right now. Yeah, you know, but maybe we can discuss it, you know, afterwards or next time because I was working on something else and I was working on this like few weeks like few days or week ago maybe, and I just saw this point today and I really don't remember what is it about exactly. Out of band record, I edited it. It works in with the exchange, and right now I'm going to probably migrate it also for this protocol. Basically that's it. And I would like to. I'm not sure how this will be difficult because it's kind of spread across the framework. So. I'm not sure. So that's just another thing to do. And yeah, regarding the roles and states, adding the out of band, I think will like clarify more concepts in the code, and then we will see what to do with the roles and states. But I think that's then about like agreement, how to transfer them if we want to do it. But I'm still not sure about this transformation as we discussed in the PR. I would rather preserve states based on protocol, not migrate them. And one of the points are also that new protocol emits the events more often than the previous one, which could be also confusing.
Well, why think... it doesn't necessarily event emitted more often? There's more values it can have, but where in the previous one you have like a sent and received, or one, it's now sent and received, but both parties will only have this, one party will only have to send, the other party only the received, right? So it's an equal amount of states, I thought.
Okay, I don't know. I need to look at it again.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, maybe we can.
I thought opposite way, but yeah, I didn't double check that.
For discussion next course, I think like I'm strongly in favor of having one state and transforming the state to for different protocols, because otherwise you get in the code, it's like if you use that protocol or that protocol, you need to check states for all the protocols. Well, semantically they mean the same. So now we're just having two values that where one is complete, another one is completed. And we need to check then on the connection record, or right, if we're using this protocol, then I want to check for complete, and otherwise I want to check for completed. It's just adds a lot of complexity to working with the code. Well, if we transform it later, like store one value and we know, right, complete, if we want it for the connection protocol, we use completed. I think it makes the logic a lot easier, but yeah, we can have a discussion about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because, and last thing I wanted to mention, how I connected connection record with out of band record is with adding into connection record, adding out of band ID. So maybe it's probably to do in many ways. I did it in this way. So I just wanted to share this with you, because maybe if you have some opinions on it, if you already see some problems with that. Yeah, so that's something I wanted to definitely mention today, at least. And yeah, that's it right now. Okay, so I think that's all for today. We are at the end of our time. Last thing, shared components and open PRs, which we need to discuss next time. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here today, and see you next time.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.